I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Episode 443 of After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close, and nothing else comes close to the day that I'm having right now. I get a text this morning early from Luke Tuck telling me that he put pen to paper with the Montreal Canadiens, so congratulations to him. I think everyone's familiar with Luke if you've listened to this show. It's Alex's younger brother, and he will now be starting a career of his own. Just had a phenomenal conversation with Jeff O'Neill that'll come out tomorrow or the next day. And we talked about what happened 18 years ago today, the golf swing that someone sent me. Thank you, Dino, for sending me the golf swing reminder that it was 18 years ago to the day. But I'm not sure anything else comes close to the news about Don Granato getting fired. And by that, I mean surprise, not happiness. I do not, I hate to see this. I wish it worked out. I was very vocal about Donnie. I've met Don, great guy. Not going to talk about it like he's dead. He's a great hockey mind. I don't know if he's a head coach. We will see in the future. But it's nothing personal. It's about winning and ending a drought that is as painful for me as it is for every other Sabre fan. You know, the move is interesting. We can dissect it a little bit here. And it'll be all we talk about today. Curious on your thoughts.
Well, I will say this, that I played for a number of NHL coaches. This does happen in the league. It's never a good day. It's never a good day. It's never, you know, maybe from a fan base side of things where they don't have any emotional relationship to the coach or the people that are being removed. But it's not a good day. It's not a good day. Don Granato is an incredible human being. He, I think, has done some very, very good things for this organization. And it's a tough day when things just kind of don't work out and you have to make tough decisions. And I commend Kevin Adams for making, I'm sure, a very, very difficult decision. I know that he has a very good relationship with Don Granato. I know it probably was not easy, but Kevin Adams is going to do right by this organization and make sure that he can maybe alter or change the direction of the way these players are going to play. So that being said,
can I say something now that we're past that? That, you know, I mean, Matty Ellis stays on. Marty Wilford stays on. We don't know in what capacity yet. That might be left up to who the next head coach is. Could be Seth Appert. Who knows how that all plays out? Okay? Who knows what happens here? I don't want to get into predicting. We have time to do that because I don't believe a decision is going to be made right away. This was the wrong choice from the get-go. And I was vocal about that from the time, and I might have been working for the team when he was hired, and I know that behind the scenes, I was not thrilled about this. I don't believe a thorough coaching search was done. You interviewed Nate Lehman and another guy from college, and then you landed on Don Granato. So to me, that's not a thorough coaching search, or at least those are the names, all the names that we heard. But I know that at the time we were talking about other coaches. I know that. I can't recall which ones.
Yeah.
I'll try to figure it out as we go and see if I can recall, but I can't excuse that fact for right now. But I do recall saying this, and you gave me a lot of shit, and I'm not looking for a, I told you so, because that's not what this is about, and I don't feel like it fits what I'm about to say anyway. But I referred to Don Granato as an inexpensive experiment. And
Yeah. I don't know if I like the term that you're using, an inexpensive experiment. It's not an experiment.
I said it at the time. Yes, it was an experiment.
Inexpensive? Yes. Did they have to pay a lot of money to have Don Granato coach?
No. Coach? No. It was an experiment and to see if it could work. And he had a really good season last year where they may have overachieved or underachieved.
I mean, you could say there's been experiments here for a decade then. There's been experiments here in Buffalo in the GM situation because the last three GMs are GMs that have never done it.
I don't know if the last three GMs hired the coach. I don't know that Jason Bottrell hired Phil Housley. I know he was the general manager when they hired Phil Housley. I know he was the general manager. He was still acting as assistant general manager for the Pittsburgh Penguins while they were playing Nashville in the finals, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
And he was acting GM and going to Pittsburgh, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know if I have that right, but I feel like that sounds right. He was still kind of working for the Pens and was in the picture for the Cup when they beat Nashville. And then he brought Phil Housley from the assistant coach from Nashville to Buffalo.
That's right, yeah.
Okay.
And Phil Housley at the time was one of the top coaching candidates out there. So it's not like, the Sabres went and made a horrible decision by going and get some no-name guy. Phil Housley's played in the league a very long time. He coached in the league for a number of years, and he was the next man up, and they went and got him. Just didn't work out.
It didn't work out. Dan Bylsma was an expensive mistake. That was costly. But I liked the idea of it. That was around the Babcock time. Babcock leveraged the Sabres against the Leafs, came to town, wine and dine, boom, see you going to Toronto, $8 million or $7 million. So the coaching history search here has kind of been, it's kind of gone all different directions.
Where do you think they're going next? Where do you think their thought is?
Well,
moving
before
forward.
We get to that, I have one more thought I want to make, and I'll make it really quick. I do have one person to commend for this firing.
Commend?
Yes.
For the firing? What do you mean by that?
I didn't think that Terry Pegula would pay another coach to not coach here. And maybe he's starting to recognize that he needs to make a bigger commitment as well. And maybe that's something that he had to bite. Maybe that was his mistake that he had to own. The fact of the matter is that I did not see, I said today on Shred and Reagan, he's coming back because he basically has a contract. I didn't see it coming. So yes, this is the shock factor to me.
So can we dive in a little bit deeper to what happened here today? So we're talking that Don Granato, along with Jason Christie, and along with one of the video technicians was fired.
Yeah, when in doubt, blame it on the video guys.
So my thought is, when I look at that, I think to myself, well, why would they relieve Jason Christie and not all of the assistants? Why are they not relieving all of the coaches? And the first thing that comes to mind is that you're keeping guys on because you're bringing in a guy that's familiar with them.
Lindy?
Keep trying.
Pekka? Appert?
There you go. I'm not saying that Seth Appert is going to be the guy. I'm not saying that that's the direction that they're going to go. All I'm saying is, why were certain guys fired and not all of them fired?
Because maybe that's where you let your next head coach decide.
Well, wouldn't you just fire Don Granato then and basically have all three of the assistants, basically their fate will be sealed once the hire of the head coach. That's what makes my spidey senses tingle, and that this is going to be a Seth Appert hiring because he's done his time in the minor and he knows the organization and the players, and we just need a different voice. Could that happen? Is that what we're looking at here?
I would like to go outside the organization. I certainly don't feel, you know, unless you're going to surround Seth Appert with like some legendary assistant type names. I don't.
Well, you what are you talking about? You have Matt Ellis and you have Marty Wilford.
I know. I'm talking like
that have not been like, removed.
I'm talking guy. Well, maybe Matty Ellis goes up top. I think Matty up top would be the greatest benefit and advantage for Matt Ellis because I think he knows how to see the game. I don't necessarily know that he's an on-the-bench coach. That is not a personal indictment on him or a hockey knowledge indictment. It's just where I see him best fit. I have watched games with Matt Ellis. I know how smart he is. I know that having him in the wire saying that play was that or he needs to do that, or, you know, and breaking down video, absolutely. Running the power play, no. On the coaching staff and on the ice for practices, up in the booth during the games, absolutely. Perfect spot for Matt Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
But if you're firing Don Granato and you're going to fire Jason Christie, one of the assistant coaches, keep the other two guy, then are you actually doing a coaching search? Are you actually going to do a coaching search for this position for the Buffalo Sabres? Or are we going to have another experiment with Seth Appert? Because listen, I mean, he's coaching the minors. My question is, what does the team need?
The next coaching hire is going to be very telling.
What do you mean telling?
I'll tell you that when the next coach is hired, what I mean by that, because I don't want to.
It's a lot of
prematurely
veteran head coaches that are available right now.
Exactly. Exactly my point. That's why I'm saying to you, with all of that, it's going to be Seth Appert. Before I move on, I got to just say I heard a hilarious joke yesterday. Driving down the road and saw my ex. It's funny how I'd hit that changes meaning over the years. How else are you supposed to segue into a Salino Law commercial? If you've been hurt in a car crash, hopefully not caused by your ex, you know what to do. Call Salino Law. Call 888. 888-888-8888.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Here's a few things that are coming up at Seneca.
Nikki Glaser, Saturday, April 20th, 8 p.m. at the Seneca Niagara Event Center.
Jay Farrell will be coming here April 26th and 27th.
That's 8 p.m. at the Seneca Niagara Bears Den. Also, here's a country band that everybody loves. They even mentioned Buffalo in one of their biggest hits. Big and Rich will be here at Seneca Allegheny Resort and Casino Saturday, May 25th. And the last one, and Craig's favorite, the Seafood Spectacular at Seneca Buffalo Creek.
Yummy.
And that's available every Thursday. For information on everything else going on at Seneca, go to SenecaNiagaraCasino.com.
Nothing else comes close.
I just asked somebody who knows all these coaches and Seth Appert. And I said, is Appert next? Not sure. Do you like Appert? I don't mean personally, because I know that from what I've been told, everybody likes Seth Appert. Love him. Just don't know if he's the right guy at this time. That means you need somebody in here that's going to lay the law down. I don't know if maybe that's him or that's the kind of position you want to put him in, because he doesn't have any experience with that part of it, you know? And so that's why I say the next coaching hire will be very telling. I think you have to go and get Craig Berube. I think you have to go and you have to ask the league permission to reinstate Joel Quenneville. I think you need to go and find somebody that these players will look at and say,
I don't care that I'm making 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 million. That's Craig Berube. That's Joel Quenneville. That's so-and-so. Maybe I should shut my mouth, or just maybe I should just go a little harder or do what he says. Something like that, you know?
The environment down there needs a change. It needs a veteran coach that is going to bring a different feeling, a different look, and a different environment. And it's not going to be playtime. This team here in Buffalo is ready to break out. There are some changes that need to happen. This is the first one of, I wouldn't say a large domino effect, but this is a change that I think was the right move. I think it's a very difficult one for Kevin Adams, but he's here to do the right move. And I think I really do support this. And if I didn't, I would tell you, but I do support this. And I do believe that Don Granato is a heck of a head coach. I really do believe that. I just think that his time is up, and there needs to be a fresh new face in here with a different type of attitude in the way that he deals with the players. I think the players feel very, very, very comfortable with Don Granato. And right now, these players need to feel uncomfortable. Coming to the rink is always going to be fun because you're playing a beautiful game of hockey. You're getting paid a lot of money to do something that you absolutely love, but there needs to be uncomfort in this environment.
Discomfort?
There needs to be uncomfort. And there needs to be a guy that comes in here that will be fair, that the players will highly respect, but this coach needs to be hard on him. This is a young team, and they're highly skilled, and they need to be taught right from wrong. And if you're not going to play the way that coach is going to play, then you're going to pay for it. You listened to Jeff O'Neill. We had on a podcast just recently, and he was talking about the Boston Bruins and their organization, how it starts with the top. Starts with Cam Neely, and it trickles all the way down into the GM, into Montgomery, the head coach, and into the whole entire team. It went from Zdeno Chara, then it went to Patrice Bergeron. Now it's in Brad Marchand, and it's the way that they do things every single game, every single practice. It's the way they do things.
Yeah, Donnie's biggest fault, and I don't know if it's his, is that he wasn't a hard enough coach. He didn't hold guys accountable, and you can't just flick that switch.
Right.
Yeah. Like Don Granato can't flick the switch to go from super nice guy, everybody love everybody. Little song by Jackie Moon. Remember, you know who Jackie Moon is? Flint Tropics.
Yeah, I know who Jackie Moon is. Absolutely.
You can't go from that mindset to I'm going to be an asshole all of a sudden. And then, not have the players think that that's going to fly. Like, oh, all of a sudden it's us, Donnie. You're going to change. Like, that just isn't how it works. I don't think he lost his players. I'll never say that. But what I won't say, or what I will say, is that he never did anything to make his players feel like they didn't know what he was going to do. Like, he was very predictable. I do believe if we had a different coaching staff, even in here with the lineup that we had that was making decisions, we might have had a different outcome this year and last year. Because maybe last year during that 8-game losing streak, guys are being held accountable. Guys are getting, you know, prices are being paid. Jeff Skinner has been sitting. Maybe Ralph Kruger was onto something.
Right.
Maybe everyone criticized Kruger. Oh, Don Granato saved Jeff Skinner. Did he, or did he just let him out of the cage to be Jeff Skinner? And Donger and Ralph Kruger, all these years later, were looking back saying, fuck, maybe he was onto something. Maybe he was just trying to get him to buy into what he was trying to do.
I don't want to go down the Jeff Skinner thing, so I'm not going to go there. I will just say that there's going to be a new voice. There's going to be a new excitement, a new uncomfort feeling to the players unless it's Seth Affert. And I'm not saying that he doesn't deserve an opportunity to coach in this league. I'm not saying that at all. I have heard some I've heard some very good things about Seth Appert. But I will say this, this current team at this point in time, I don't think that Seth Appert is the guy that they need. It's going to be another blankie for the players, and they need someone different, someone who's going to come into the organization, who's fresh and new, that has done this in the past, who's going to be hard on these players, and the players are going to know exactly what their responsibilities are.
That is what I mean. But if you can't dissect what I mean by the next coach hired will be very telling. I can't believe that you are struggling to figure out what I mean.
Yeah, because I think what you're saying is brilliant. I really do think it's brilliant, and I'm not going to give you the props for the brilliancy.
You just did.
I think you're bang on. I think the next coach and who is hired is a telltale sign of what's next to come for this team. Because once you do hire a coach, there will be a trickle-down effect in all different areas of his hiring, whether who he is going to have on his coaching staff, who's he going to have on the bench. There's going to be how the team is run. Are you going to have between two ferns or between two whatever? Like all these little things that are happening in the Sabre environment.
I'm going to tell you right now, the only option is Lindy Ruff. Because you don't need him for the entirety. You just need him to turn it around, accountability, all that stuff. You just need 2 years out of Lindy. You need 2 years out of Lindy. Lindy can run a power play. Lindy can run a penalty kill. Lindy Ruff is your answer.
The team's ready to explode. There are some changes that need to happen to the actual lineup, the roster. There are changes that need to happen to the roster. A new head coach, new philosophy, new environment, not changing things so the players are confused. There'll be no confusion with a veteran head coach. Zero confusion. This is what you need to understand. Bringing in a new guy is not going to make confusion. It is going to give clarity to how you will play each and every night. And if you do not reach it, it's on you. It's not on anybody else. Don't phone your agent. Don't have your agent phone Kevin Adams because they're not playing. There's going to be a standard. And the standard's going to be high. It's not about just making the playoffs. I don't give a shit about making the playoffs. I would rather a team every single year have the feeling that our job is to win the Stanley Cup. That our expectations in this organization is to win a Stanley Cup. Our expectations right now is just to try and get close and hopefully get into the playoffs. Well, what does that do? So you're out in four games and then you start all over again? No, build a team that can win. And this team right now is not built to win. It is not built to win. Once they get the makeup, the right makeup, this team will gain 15 points immediately once they have the right makeup. They have the skills. They have the size. They have goaltending. They have the defense. They have everything. But they need changes to the roster. Once they do it, there'll be an immediate impact to the team. And I'm going to tell you this. The fan base that go and pay a lot of money to be entertained, not just to watch hockey, to be entertained, once you get the right team on paper, you'll see a product on the ice that Sabres fans will be proud of. Win or lose.
That'll do it for After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. Reminder, SenecaNiagaraCasino.com for all events going on through April and May. Check it out.